Assalamu alaikum, everyone. We are one day removed from the Bitcoin halving. Wow, it's finally upon us. And things are about to get very exciting. They have been exciting, but they're about to be very, very exciting. And in this live, I'd like to go over some things that we have to know about not only Bitcoin, but crypto generally, so that we understand what our choices are going into this bull run or into the thick of this bull run. And we have a strategy that helps us get through it and come out of it at the time that we need to, and inshallah, better off than how we started. So without further ado, let's get started. Not financial advice, so make sure to do your own due diligence before making any investing decisions. And if you enjoy these lives, then do leave a like. I'd really appreciate that. So looking at where we are right now, we've had 3 days consecutively of negative net inflows into the Bitcoin ETF, something that really hasn't happened that much. Typically, we have positive inflows into Bitcoin ETFs since their inception in January. And this negative inflows has reflected itself in the price of Bitcoin, which has briefly approached 60,000, but has since rebounded a bit. Now, the reason for this negative net inflow can be traced to GBTC, which is halfway drained. So they started off when the Bitcoin ETFs launched, they started off with more than 600,000 Bitcoins, and now they're at 300,000 Bitcoins. And so, you know, at maximum, if the rate of drainage continues at the same rate, then in a few months, there won't be something called GBTC anymore. That being said, I do think that management will eventually have to give in to what the market is telling it, and it will have to reduce its management fees. I really think that pretty much everyone on GBTC's management should be fired. They've done a terrible job. They had this gem of an asset that they absolutely destroyed with their greed, insisting on a outrageously high management fee. And they really haven't really fully appreciated how badly they screwed this up. Because guess what? If right now the assets under management, after they've drained half of their Bitcoin holdings, it's at 20 billion, right around 20 billion. So they've lost 20 billion in assets under management. Well, when Bit 10Xs from here in the next few years, as is, you know, forecasted by many, including myself, when Bitcoin 10Xs, then the 20 billion that they lost in assets under management is essentially 200 billion that they could have been collecting a management fee on, but they insisted on having this outrageously high management fee, and they're paying the price. Eventually, someone has to knock some sense into management and say, hey, we're going to end up with no fund if we keep our management fees where they are, and they'll end up having to reduce them. It's only a question of when and how much damage they want to take until then. The Bitcoin halving is upon us, as I mentioned, in around one day, in a few hours, we will have the halving. And that's when the reward for each block mined gets cut in half. So this has typically corresponded when the supply is cut in half, basic economics, when the supply is cut in half, assuming the same amount of demand, the price will go up. And that is in fact what has happened in 2012, 2016, 2020. This is what we've experienced. And this time around, we have the Bitcoin ETFs, as I mentioned. So we've actually got to a high before the halving, or we set a new all-time high before the halving. And typically, all-time highs for Bitcoin are set after the halving, new ones. And not only that, we have a more dedicated hodler base for Bitcoin. So right now, The supply of last active more than 3 years ago, the supply of Bitcoin that is last active more than 2 years ago, is now at an all-time high at around 45%. Bitcoin exchanges is at a five-year low. So you have Bitcoin on exchanges, and typically Bitcoin is moved to exchanges when people want to sell them. So Bitcoin on exchanges is at an all-time low. Supply is going to be a cut in half. People are hodling for longer their Bitcoin. This can only mean one thing, and that is the price of Bitcoin is going to go up. Inshallah, of course. Now, the Bitcoin halving here, as I mentioned in the previous three halvings, there was a clear appreciation in the days and weeks and months following the halving. So you can see the halving is represented by the vertical line on this chart, the last three halvings are, and you can see how much it is appreciated since or after the halvings each time. And if you like raw numbers instead of graphs, you can see that in November 2012, on the day of the halving, the price was $12. 500 days later, it was $135. So did a cool 11x there. On July 9th of 2016, the halving day price was $658. 500 days later, it was $1,500. In 2020, the halving day price was $8,600. 500 days later, it was $50,900. So really, the first choice you have here is to whether or not you're going to own Bitcoin. And I think this is a clear choice based on the historical data, based on the fundamentals that we've covered. It's really not, I don't think, a complicated question to answer. At least this is for me. So I really think that everyone should have Bitcoin in their portfolios. And now it's easier than ever to hold Bitcoin through the exchange traded fund. So you don't have to self-custody Bitcoin. You don't have to hold it on exchanges. You can have it in your brokerage account, which I think is a massive feature for the asset and makes it even more attractive. So don't complicate things. Don't complicate things on yourself. Don't try to time the market. Don't try to figure out, oh, is it going to fall after the halving? Is it going to fall before the halving? Is it going to rally before the halving? I showed you the charts. I showed you the numbers. The choice is clear. The history is clear. And not only that, but the argument for Bitcoin, the sort of philosophical argument for Bitcoin has never been stronger. The supply of fiat on the market in the economy has grown to levels that are unprecedented. And by the way, these are United States numbers that I'm showing you. The rest of the world is a lot worse. So you have credit card debt, student debt, auto debt, mortgage debt in the trillions of dollars, each one of them. Everyone is leveraged to the gills, including the federal government, which is adding $1 trillion in additional debt every 100 days. And we're now at close to $35 trillion in federal government debt. So you want to hold cash? Do you want to earn 5% on a loan that you may make to the government? This is what investors today have to answer. Do you want to own 5% on a loan that you're giving the government, knowing that it has to print all of this money in order to pay off its debt and service its debt? Or do you want to hold your purchasing power in an asset that has a capped supply and a supply that is not determined by the self-interests of people that control it? Rather, it is determined by a predetermined algorithm that is not subject to the whims of self-interested people. Which do you want to do? These are clear choices. And I think the answer is clear as well. Don't listen to any of these people who are trying to say, don't know what they're talking about, saying Bitcoin is haram. These people haven't done their research. They don't know what they're talking about. They shouldn't be talking in halal and haram, given how little they know about the subject. Do not be deceived. These people are just people who think Satoshi Nakamoto is pulling a Ponzi scheme on everyone, don't know the first thing about Bitcoin. Make sure you're listening to people who understand what they're talking about. Again, here, this is not something that is, you know, there's a lot of gray in this matter. No, it's very black and white. It's very clear for someone who actually understands what they're talking about. This is a way for people to preserve their savings, preserve their purchasing power over time, and get out of the Ribawi-based fiat system. People who are saying fiat is preferable over Bitcoin don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. And you shouldn't be listening to them. And so that's one choice with a clear answer. Another choice on investing in this bull run relates to Bitcoin miners. I've spoken about Bitcoin miners a lot. They're a lot higher risk than Bitcoin itself is, but I do think that there is potential in the best miners. And they have a potential of appreciating even more than Bitcoin, the best miners do. Most Bitcoin miners will lag Bitcoin in their performance. Most of them will. The top two or three or four will outperform Bitcoin by a lot. So again, here you have a clear choice in terms of, once you understand that, in terms of, okay, I don't want to invest in Bitcoin miners if I don't know which ones to pick. I don't know. I haven't done my research on these Bitcoin miners. I don't know anything about their operating profits, their cash flows, their debt. Just throwing money at, you know, the next trending Bitcoin miner or the one that is up the most on a particular day is not a good investment strategy. Like I said, most Bitcoin miners will lag Bitcoin, the asset, in terms of their total return. So only dabble in Bitcoin miners if you know how to pick the right ones. And for crypto generally, so CoinGecko came out with a report that talked about the most popular narratives for crypto in Q1 of this year. And the most popular narrative was artificial intelligence, followed by meme coins, followed by real world assets, and followed by the Solana ecosystem. So I think that if you're dabbling in, you know, altcoins, again, here I'd like to say most of these altcoins will get you burned. Only a few of them will outperform Bitcoin, but most of them will not. So again, here, do not dabble unless you know what you're doing, you know what to look for. Q1, the most popular themes are not necessarily the same most popular themes in Q2, although I think for the most part, the top four will remain at the top of this list. So artificial intelligence, meme coins, real world assets, and Solana ecosystem seem to be sticky trends this bull run, if I had to guess. Meme coins, I think, you know, financial nihilism is setting in for a lot of people, wherein they feel like nothing they do is going to help them catch up. And you know, if they get, you know, 5% return or a 10% return or 15 or even 20% return annually, that's not going to move the needle for them. They're so behind financially. So they're looking for something that's going to give them 100x or 1000x. And, you know, meme coins provides them with that hope. I would encourage people not to get sucked into that line of thinking. It's a very dangerous line of thinking that causes a lot of people a lot of grief. Remember the idea of the tortoise and the hare, right? The famous story that we all were taught when we were younger. The tortoise, slow and steady, wins the race. The hare that, you know, tries to beat the tortoise or tries to get huge gains, but is not really steady, is not really consistent, ends up losing. With these meme coins, you make a lot, you lose a lot very quickly. There are no, you know, there's no steady gains, nothing that you, most people can't really build on, because the same way they won it is the same way they lose it. So I would caution against that sort of line of thinking wherein you're trying to hit a home run, and encourage investors to try and look for things that have fundamental value and for things that they can build on. They understand why they go up. They understand why they go down, and slowly reach their financial goals that way. So as I mentioned, Solana meme coins were the hottest lottery ticket in Q1. Now you saw things like Dog with Hat and Bonk and Bum gain, you know, substantially. But this says nothing about the, you know, 5,000 tokens a day that are created and all the money that is lost in those. So don't just look at the ones that end up being winners. There's a lot of money lost here. So I would encourage people to be very careful. We dabble, PIF dabbles in some altcoins. We like to think that we're very diligent in researching the fundamentals for each project before we deploy any cash to it. And we were diligent in taking profits whenever the opportunity presents itself. And even with all of that, diligence and all of that study, there are extended periods of time where you're underwater. It doesn't look like your portfolio is doing well. And so, you know, this is not something that you should just, you know, throw something at the wall and see what sticks. You know, even if you do your effort, you have to have patience and know what you're investing in, because otherwise you're going to get burned. I would highly encourage people to consider becoming a PIF member so that they can join a community of people who are actually doing the diligence that they need and supporting one another in terms of, you know, holding on to the truth and holding on to patience. Bot trading volume has reached the highest level since Q4 of 2021, which, if you recall, was the peak of the last cycle. So we're kind of, you know, breaking last cycle's numbers really relatively early in this cycle. So, you know, this just goes to show the amount of potential that there is in this cycle. And I think that, you know, with all the caution that I've said about investing, there's a lot of opportunity here as well. So I think it's the payoff per unit of effort exerted right now is perhaps higher than it's been in years. With that being said, as I mentioned, become a PIF member if you'd like to join a community of halal conscious investors. And with that being said, let's go to questions. Do I pay Zakat on crypto? Yes, you do pay Zakat on crypto. Treat it like you treat cash. Yeah, I doesn't really matter whether you switched from one crypto to the other. These are all cash-like instruments. It's like saying, oh, well, you know, I have dollars, but I converted them to Canadian. Do I need to? I have US dollars, and converted them to Canadian dollars. Is the haul still applicable? Yeah, it's applicable. It's just cash. What is your price prediction for iron and bull case? So I think probably between $10 and $15. It's not pre-recorded. It is live. Assalamu alaikum. Thoughts about both short-term and long-term outlook for Sol. The recent pullback has hurt my portfolio value big time, but I continue to hold in stake. Yeah, I think Sol is still a solid choice. We had the congestion in the Sol network recently that brought down Sol and brought down Sol-related altcoins. It basically got wiped out. But I think there'll eventually be a recovery here. I think it's the better option between it and Ethereum. I think Sol is the better platform. Follow-up thoughts on Sol and off-topic Mphase. So Mphase, so I just talked about Sol. Mphase, still a solid choice. Still bullish on, I've never been bullish on Marathon. So, but iron is part of our portfolio. Our meme coins, Halal, I talked about that in previous live. Please check that out. Someone I know only owns Ethereum and BTC. They're very comfortable, held since 2020. Yeah, that's sort of one strategy. Have, you know, lower number of cryptos in your portfolio, but know more about them. So one way to decrease your risk is to just diversify into a bunch of different things. Another way to decrease your risk is just to know a lot about the things that you're invested in. Diversification reduces your expected return, but reducing your risk through knowing more about what you're investing in does not decrease your expected return. So something to think about. Wayakum, it's my pleasure. I'm watching you from the UK. Oh, salam to everyone in the UK. Salam to everyone who watches from the UK, near and dear to my heart. My sister lives in the UK. Thank you, Wayakum. Salam, what is your opinion on Albemarle? I think that, so I talked briefly about it. I think it's a good company. I think it has, if my memory serves me, I think it's too high in debt, and it also has operations in China that I wasn't comfortable with. Also, for our lithium pick, I think we have greater upside. Thanks, Amir. Appreciate that. Thanks for your transparency. Highly appreciable. NASA is great. Thank you. I really appreciate that, Maqsood. Young and have limited cash to invest. Don't mind losing. Does it make sense to invest into altcoins to make more profit and buy Bitcoin in the bear market later? So, like I said, slow and steady wins the race. I would highly advise putting a portion of your investing into something more reliable like Bitcoin and just dollar cost averaging, and maybe have a percentage of your investing just for the long shots. But with crypto, I mean, basically at this point in the cycle, it's basically about attention. What cryptos are getting the most attention at that specific time? And it's less about fundamentals. Now, what will determine which cryptos survive are the fundamentals of the crypto. But in the short term, what determines, you know, what is pumping is which crypto has the most attention on it at that time. So this is very unreliable. It's very unpredictable, very high risk. So rather than having this bull run pass you by without getting any gains from it, have, I think, a portion of your investing go into something like Bitcoin, which I think is, you know, on the low end will 2x from here, on the high end maybe 3 or 4x from here by the end of this bull run. Have something like that, and then maybe you have some different percentage of your investing go to these sort of high-risk long shots. That may be an approach you consider. Do you have to pay Zakat on crypto assets too, or only on cryptocurrencies? So the only distinction I would make would be crypto that is staked and is actually being used, and it's like it's providing a service, versus crypto that's not staked. So crypto that is staked, it seems to me that that's analogous to a property that you have that you're renting out. It's being used. People are benefiting from it. But it does depend on, you know, what does staking that particular crypto actually imply? What is there any benefit to the staking, or is it just like most crypto, not providing any real world benefit, any service to anyone? It's just, you know, aiming to enrich the stakers without any service being provided. If there is a service being provided, you're confident in that the answer to that question is yes, then the crypto that is staked, I think you can make an argument that is exempt from Zakat, but the crypto that is not staked, it's not providing any service to anyone, that's just cash. You have to pay Zakat on it. Walaikum salam. Haven't really done a deep dive into Aerodrome or Velodrome. If one becomes a member, do you share with members what to buy and sell? Well, I mean, what I do is I share exactly what I buy and what I sell, and when I do it, exactly at the time I make the trade. And even if I make a limit order, I'll share that too. And then people can either, you know, decide to follow. And most members follow, you know, a subset of whatever trades I make. Perhaps they're not into crypto, so they just follow my growth or dividend buys and sell. Or they follow everything. Or they follow, you know, or perhaps they disagree with a certain move that I make. And they'll so decide accordingly. But what I make sure I do is I share everything in terms of the trades that I make with members, and then people can make up their own minds. And I share why I did it, obviously. And we do deep dives, obviously, into the different assets that we hold. What is our rationale behind holding a certain asset? And I try to be active every day on Discord explaining my take on the markets and different assets and answering questions. Are you an XRP holder, and how do you feel about it? So I've been asked about XRP before. I think that, so in order for a crypto to actually appreciate in price, you have to have demand, yes. But you have to have a limited supply, or you have to have an inflation rate that isn't too high. The inflation rate has to be steady, predictable, and preferably declining with time. With XRP, you don't have that second part of the equation. You have inflation until kingdom come. That's at least how I understand it. You're welcome to. So even if the use case picks up, and even if, you know, people start actually using XRP, you know, to transfer money, doing bank transfers or whatever the use case is, if there's no limit to the issuance, the price is going to stay where it is. And in fact, you've seen, if you look at the chart of XRP, there's been no appreciation for a long time. So I wouldn't touch it. For the membership, how often do you update on changes? Because in a volatile market such as crypto, it is important to be able to copy you. So we're not day traders. We don't day trade. We take a long-term view. But sometimes we'll have, you know, sort of opportunities will present themselves. So most recently, I'll say last Saturday, when you had the Iranian attack on Israel, then things crashed. Well, I made a trade. I made a buy at that point. So sometimes we have these cases, but this is not, you know, so we'll do the occasional swing trade. Well, you know, even much less common is a day trade, but our general outlook is longer term. For I previously invested in an NFT, then I started questioning the validity of my investment and thought it was not permissible. I pulled my investment and I'm at a loss. Is it okay for me to use this capital again to reinvest? Well, yeah, you lost money and you pulled it out. So it's your money now. Do what you want with it. Any AI crypto in mind? We're looking. Honestly, I'll tell you, like the assets that we share with members is probably 1/4 the assets that we actually do a deep dive into, or 1/5. So yeah, we're looking at different AI cryptos to see if we like any. Salesforce, not really a fan. I just used their product and I wasn't really a fan. Okay. Bassam Hassan says Salesforce supports Israel. Perhaps not invested in it either way. All right, guys. Thank you. That's all the questions I'm going to take for today. Inshallah, we will be back soon. And until then, if you enjoyed this live, do leave a like and become a PIF member to join our community. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.